What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Haw.
You're the guy who wants to go the whole MJ versus LeBron. When you go American Pharoah versus Secretariat, how close is it?
Not close at all.
Secretariat is lightning now. He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Why are you dissing American Pharoah this soon after the race?
I'm not dissing American Pharoah.
You were diminishing it by tweeting that it would not have even come close to Secretariat.
The Big Red, dominant.
Secretariat is all alone. He's out there almost a sixth of a mile away from the rest of the horse.
Final quarter by American Pharoah was faster than Secretariat's.
Secretariat was 31 lengths up and stopped for photos.
What's milkshaking a horse?
Milkshaking at thehorse.com. The milkshake has enjoyed some popularity as a performance enhancer for racehorse, but it is banned in all racing jurisdictions.
Was Secretariat on the juice?
No! He had a heart that was 1.5 times bigger than anyone else.
And all heart. He was a man.
Sham has about as much chance of beating Secretariat as Poncho has of beating Muhammad Ali.
From the 7th floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Poncho scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in on a Tuesday morning in the greatest city in the world. I'm David Kaplan. He is David Haw, lead columnist, Chicago Tribune. This is Captain Haw on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet. Mike Jacobson, our executive producer. Matthew Rooney, our associate producer at PG-13. Pat Castell is our great director.
Good morning. Morning, Cap.
How are you,
sort
pal?
Sort of a dreary Tuesday in Chicago.
Why?
Kind of a dim day.
Why?
Oh, you're going to put on the old happy Mr. Sunshine act. Tough
no
loss.
No act.
Tough loss, Cap.
They've been down 2-1 before. They've been down
3-1
in a series.
Relax. I know they have. They're going to do it again, right? Look, who was it that said, was it Pat Fitzgerald? Sometimes you just have to embrace the suck.
I hung out with him last night. He was at the game.
Fitz was there.
With his wife and all his kids.
I heard he was there. I heard that...
He was in a...
He's a big hockey fan.
What was he wearing? I can't remember. His wife was in a Patrick Sharp jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he there last night, Patrick Sharp?
I don't know if he played.
Kaner?
He play?
I don't know. They've been very quiet. Tough loss. Okay. He's got to acknowledge it, Cap. You can put the smile on. You can wear the smile around. You can turn that frown upside down eventually, but you have to acknowledge the fact that that was a tough one because it was, as they say in the hockey world, a character win for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm. The Blackhawks are the ones who should be having the character wins on home ice. Look, that was a character win for the Lightning.
Sometimes you got to tip your hockey helmet and go,
tip it.
Damn good team over there.
Okay.
Series isn't over, bud. You got to win 4.
I'm not saying the series is over. Don't paint me as Mr. Dark Cloud. I'm just acknowledging
reality. You just said it's reality. A dreary day.
And reality is it's a bit dreary. Eh. I understand that they have been here before and they're not panicking and all those things that you will hear later today in the Hawk dressing room. At some point, though, wouldn't it be nice to have a little bit of an outburst?
Yeah, I'd like to see 7-2 on
Wednesday
night.
How about last night? What was the biggest response? When do you remember the Hawks being, really noticeably moved emotionally?
Noticeably moved emotionally.
It was when the Brandon Saad goalie interference play, and Ben Bishop was doing his best. And now the Emmy
for like he'd been shot.
Best performers by a goaltender in a Stanley Cup final playoff game goes to
Ben Bishop.
Yes.
He was laying down like he'd been
exactly.
shot.
Okay. And did you see Joel Quenneville slamming the glass with his hand, kicking the towel?
He was furious.
Jonathan Toews talking up a blue streak with the official. That it lit a fire. The Hawks responded to that in a way that said, oh boy, that team wants it. Okay, I know that they're all okay with this. They're down 2-1. They were there in 2013. But a little anger would be okay mm-hmm. at this point in time. Well, game four, Wednesday night.
In a series that in game one you won it, but you only led for 434.
Yes.
Game two you led for a minute 32.
Yes.
Last night you led for 13 seconds. It's no surprise that you're down 2-1.
For the 10th time, and I'm not saying this like facetiously, like for the 10th time, Cap, I've told you this. Literally, for the 10th time this postseason, the Hawks lost a lead within 2 minutes of taking it.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say? What does that say about your team that you cannot protect the lead better than you've been able to?
What did you think of Crawford last night?
I thought that the first goal was one that he needs to stop.
My wife said the same thing, and I gave him a pass on that. Tip your cap.
That
was a rocket.
Your wife's an astute hockey observer.
That shot was a rocket.
He needs to stop that rocket.
He needs to stop number two. The one that tied the game.
I thought that was Ben Bishop's problem.
Yeah, exactly. The second goal,
uh-huh.
He can't allow that one in. And even Joel said after the game, that one can't go in.
I thought the first one was one that he would want back.
That thing was a bullet, man. And right over his shoulder. He went, whoa.
Again, Victor Hedman with the stretch pass. If there's a defenseman making stretch passes and forwards making goals from the blue line, you'd hope it would be Duncan Keith mm-hmm. to Patrick Sharp or Patrick Kane or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good Lightning team. And let's face it, they have been the better team through three games.
No question.
Can you acknowledge that, Mr. Sunshine?
No question about it. But when you've got a wide-open net, the host can't find a way because he got tripped, he said.
Not he said. He got tripped.
Okay.
Period.
Yeah, either way.
It's not like he claimed.
I got tripped.
He got tripped.
Find a way to get the puck in the back of the net. Dock the boat.
So you are unforgiving of a Marian Hossa going down.
Did they call a penalty?
Yeah.
On that play?
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah. Tripping.
Why did I not remember that?
Tripping.
Oh, that's when there was the 4-on-4. Brandon Saad got the other
yes.
penalty. That's what it was.
Yes.
That's what it was.
So it wasn't a power play. It was 4-on-4, which opened the ice for Tavo and Kaner on the same line.
And then Tavo missed an open net.
Yes, he did. He wasn't. He didn't finish last night. No pun intended.
He got a little cocky at the press conference the other day. I was like, whoa. Well, he didn't want to talk to the media. Now we're all puffy-chested. Relax. Sparky.
He wasn't shooting against his Russian goaltender that he said he could score on. He was shooting against Ben Bishop, a guy the Hawks let off the hook.
I think that's all a bunch of hooey.
What is hooey about that? They let him off the hook. He got better as the game went longer.
Yeah, it's all that. Oh, my God, he's got an injury. We got to start doing this and doing that. Please. He played his you-know-what off. Guy was really good last night.
Then what?
I think a lot of that's overrated.
What is overrated?
He wouldn't have been in the net if he couldn't stop the puck. Stopped 36 flipping shots. Tired of this. He was hurt and we couldn't take advantage of him. He wasn't
okay,
hurt.
I'm assuming you watched the game.
I was there for every stinking second.
I know you were there for every stinking second, but I'm assuming that you actually watched the game.
Yeah.
Then how can you diminish the obvious to everyone else that was watching anguish that he overcame to win that game?
He wasn't in that much anguish to stop 36 pucks against the Western Conference champs.
How do you know that?
I saw him make some spectacularly good saves.
He looked...
I'd like to be that anguished when I go to work every day.
He looked like he was laboring through that. This was not a smooth night for Ben Bishop. He was in clear distress at times. Now, that doesn't excuse his acting job on the flopperoo when Brandon Saad took him down and goalie interference, when he was pushed by Steven Stamkos into Ben Bishop. But I think that you're kind of full of hooey, if you want to use your word, to suggest that he wasn't hurt.
Well, Frank Slove says, hey, boys, I think Tampa Bay fooled the Hawks, making the goalie injury seem way worse than he was making the Hawks change shooting away from net front presence.
Stop quoting Twitter.
He only looked really injured when there was little to no pressure. When he was pressured, he was fine.
When you're looking for logic, Cap, please stop quoting Twitter, okay? Don't do it. Of course, that's a nonsensical statement. I respect the guy's opinion there. But do you really think that they orchestrated a fake injury to go through that entire day's worth of nonsense to gain some sort of edge? What edge would they gain?
I think you
can't say, on one hand, chip of the helmet to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then on the other hand say, Ben Bishop wasn't hurt and he didn't overcome some sort of adversity, pain-wise, injury-wise, to win that game.
How can we not score? This guy's injured. Looked pretty damn good to me, man. Jeez. He was awesome. 36 saves. Our guy's letting 13 seconds
later, he was giving
slide
up
under him.
He was creating more rebounds than Steph Curry the night before. Everything was there in the first period. They missed an opportunity from Hossa. They missed an opportunity from Tavo. That game should have been 3-1 at the end of one. He was shaky. The longer he was on the ice, the better he got.
Hey, for weeks you've been here. Oh, wait a minute.
I was at the game. You were hobnobbing at the game.
No,
I'm not sure you watched.
I was angry. I was ticked. Not happy. And that second goal, the number two, Crawford took a number two on that one. Eddie Olczyk, Blackhawks TV analyst, and also NHL, an NBC color analyst, called the game last night with the great Doc Emmerich. At Eddie Olczyk on Twitter, 955. Dan Rosen, senior writer, NHL.com. Good dude. 1025, and Paul Sullivan, baseball columnist, Chicago Tribune, at PW Sullivan. Might hear from a Chicago baseball executive if he gets back to us. They've been in meetings this morning, so.
What are they trying to do? Stage a draft or something?
Yeah. I'm hearing trade rumors, so lots to do.
That's why you didn't watch the game. You were too busy working the phone with trade rumors.
No, I watched every second.
You missed
of
a pretty
it.
Good game, Cap.
Hey, for weeks, you've been hearing me talk about MyPillow. Have you taken my advice? Order yourself a MyPillow yet? Well, let me just tell you something, folks. I got home last night. It took me forever to get out of the lot. I need to get a traffic engineer over there. It's forever. I got home. David Haw laid my little head right down on the pillow. Oh, man. I was out like that.
I think you slept through the game.
Got a great night's sleep, ready to fire on Haw, because I have my pillow. Let me just tell you something, folks. Flipping best pillow you'll ever, ever get. Sleep on it for 60 nights. No risk to you. You don't like it as much as I do, where I love it, no problem. Return it. They'll refund 100% of the purchase price. Who does stuff like that? That's how confident MyPillow is in their product. MyPillow, the official pillow recommended by the National Sleep Foundation. MyPillow even has a cooling effect. Summer heat and humidity is coming. You need a pillow that keeps your head cool and comfortable. Test one out. See where they've sold over 5 million of these bad boys. Act this week. MyPillow gives you 50% off all products. Use the promo code CAP. Log on. MyPillow.com. Promo code KAP. Or call 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com. Promo code KAP. 50% off. Get a great night's sleep, just like I do every night. 312-235-2525. Take a time out. Ooh, I think Ben Bishop just stopped another one. We'll be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
I'm not going to be much help to you guys right now, so we're not going to comment on that.
Here.
Do you feel well enough to play tonight?
We'll see. I feel like Marshawn Lynch right now.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Coach, I got to ask you the question. It looks like your goaltender's laboring just a little bit. Anything to that?
No, I talked to him between periods before the game. We wouldn't put somebody in there. We're going to put him in harm's way. He's fine. Some people are talking about him slow to get up and down, but he's 6'7", so it takes him a little bit longer to get up than most guys.
Come on, guys. Come on.
All right, Ben Bishop, a little Pierre McGuire, and some John Cooper all sprinkled in.
And a little drop from Tom Thibodeau.
That's it. Come on, guys. Come on. Welcome back. Kevin Hawk continues. Comcast SportsNet and WGN Plus.
There's no doubt that Ben Bishop struggled going laterally. And I think there was speculation between periods. After the first period, when the Hawks finally woke up after the Callahan goal, 5 minutes into the game, that seemed to wake the Hawks up. The Hawks had two awakenings last night, one after the first goal and the other one after the Saad penalty for goalie interference. Their response to those two events were how they have to play against this Lightning team for 60 minutes. I know that's a lot to ask, but you are down 2-1 in a Stanley Cup final. But Bishop struggled so much in the first period after the Hawks, I think, attempted 19 shots. They led 19-7 in shots after the first period. And Cap, the teams went off the ice into the dressing room, and the talk in the press box was, is this guy going to come back? Is Bishop going to come back? Or are we going to see Vasilevskiy return to play the rest of the game? Because that's how much he was struggling going side to side. The Hawks were unable to take advantage of that. Players afterward mentioned that. And I think to diminish it is unwise. I just think that's a big part of last night's game. Ben Bishop overcoming.
No, I think that's the hook, line, and sinker that they got him.
What possible reason would they have for orchestrating a fake injury?
I'm not saying it's fake. I'm saying it's way overrated. It's way overrated. Oh, my God, they had this laboring goalie. He was just awful. Oh, how can we not score him? The guy was a flippin' stud last night.
Well, I totally think that not in the first period he wasn't.
36 of 38 shots he stopped.
Cap, in the first period, a lot of his success was because the Blackhawks' failure to take advantage of opportunities.
And from that point on, game over.
Well, okay, I'm saying steadily he got better, but to say he didn't overcome something, I think misses the point. As badly as Marian Hossa missed the net, which was wide open 10 feet away. He did get tripped. Toivo, you know, if there was going to be a 21-year-old or a 20-year-old star in the game last night at the United Center, mm-hmm. win the game with the game on the line, you would think it was going to be the Hawks. Teuvo Teravainen, mm-hmm. not the Lightning, Cedric Paquette. But with 3:11 to go.
That was not Crawford's fault. That was on Kaminsky and Sharp.
I'm not saying that was Crawford's fault.
I'm not saying you did, but there are some people.
You were all of a sudden becoming Corey Crawford's great defender. What happened overnight? You're Corey Crawford's great defender now.
I've always been since 13.
I didn't pick on Corey Crawford.
Some people are.
I'm not some people. I say that with 3:11 to go in the game, the guy who was quietly dominating the series, well, both guys who were quietly dominating the series for the Lightning, Victor Hedman, who sliced through the
best player on the ice the first three games.
Could he be stopped? I felt like I was watching a youth hockey game, and the biggest kid on the ice just went all the way down unstopped.
How about the pass to Ryan Callahan for the first goal?
That was a great pass.
Oh.
Hedman is terrific, and Paquette finished, and he was getting credit in the first two games for his defense on Jonathan Toews. And last night, after a while, John Cooper threw caution to the wind. They just said, we're going to match up how we match up. Doesn't matter. We're playing away from home. And we're talking about Cedric Paquette for his offense and scoring the game-winning goal. 21-year-old kid who started the season in the AHL, just like Toivo, came up, slowly built some confidence. Great prospect. He's having a great series.
Outstanding. 312-235-2525. Chris Sale, first White Sox player ever to have four consecutive games of 10 strikeouts or more. He was dominant again last night. He is locked in, and he is wow.
Yeah.
Just eye-poppingly good.
That's a wow factor.
And tonight, Dallas Keuchel will pitch against Carlos Rodon. Keuchel beat the White Sox in Houston a couple weekends ago. He's a very good pitcher. But yesterday, that was the Chris Sale show. He was awesome.
It was great. And the Sox had another big draft, Carson Fulmer. They drafted in the
first round. He played quarterback in Arizona, too? Oh, that's Palmer. Sorry.
Yeah, no. No, that's Carson Palmer.
Another hard-throwing Vandy guy.
Another hard-throwing right-hander from Vandy comes to Chicago to watch his career take off.
I hope that narrative works.
I tweeted that last night and got some Jay defenders really coming after me.
Ugh, they're so ridiculous.
I don't know. I'm
so tired of the
Jay. It's a really good picture of Carson Fulmer on the back page of the Sun-Times, though. He looks like he's got a lot of nasty in him. He looks like he might get along with Cutler just fine. He does. He looks like he's got that mentality.
Do they teach that in Vandy?
I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, so let's go back to hockey.
Here's your scholarship. Though. Here's your books. And step down there. You pick up your jerk bill. That wouldn't be him.
Let's go back to hockey because the rhetoric around town by Mr. Sunshine will be, hey, they've been here before. This is what the Hawks were facing 2 years ago after dropping 2-1 to the Bruins.
Correct.
Heading into Game 4 of 2013 Stanley Cup Final, they had gone 122 minutes, 26 seconds between goals. They had lost 71% of the faceoffs. Mm-hmm. They were 0 for 20, their power play scoreless streak. They were 0 for their last 20. And after Game 3, a national reporter asked Joe Quenneville about the, quote, death grip the Bruins had on the Blackhawks. And I think a lot of the feelings were familiar, like we feel today in Chicago. And then the Hawks snapped out of it. They came back in 17 seconds. That everyone will remember, they won in Game 6. They won that in 6, right?
They did.
On enemy ice.
That's correct. We were both there.
Yes. Is that going to, for history to repeat itself, they've got to play much better. Something's missing right now. Don't know what it is.
Need a couple quick early goals tomorrow night. Get everybody relaxed. And then when you get them down.
I think you're too relaxed. I don't think you need to, this whole relaxed.
Crowd.
I think, well.
Crowd's not
talking
relaxed.
About people, no. Crowd's not relaxed. I don't know that the crowd should be relaxed right now.
They're a little
I'm
nervous.
Not spelling R-E-L-A-X. That's a very good team over there.
Very good. Hey, 9 a.m. hour sponsored by the great people at ABT Electronics. App.com. Great website. Check them out. Won't believe everything they sell. Ask for our buddy, the one and only Steve Shapiro. 312-235-2525. We'll get to your calls. Edzo at 9:55 to talk hockey. Be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
To the left circle, Holsa to the left side. She scores! Brandon Saad snaps it past Ben Bishop. He let it rip from the slot and a perfect setup by Marion Holsa. And the Hawks lead 2-1.
Drop down the right wing Hawks zone. Backhands it in on goal. Crawford makes a save. The puck rolls over the goal line. They score. And the Lightning tie the score.
You guys take the lead on Brandon Saad. 13 seconds later, it's tied. How deflating, how much does that kind of take the life out of everything that quickly?
All of a sudden you get momentum and it's a, it's had two games in a row. We had the lead, but it was short-lived both times and, two tough losses in a row.
There's the Brandon Saad goal. There's Tracy Myers asking Joel Quenneville about 13 seconds later, and the Blackhawks end up losing that hockey game 3-2. 312-235-2525. It's the Cap and Haw Show on Comcast Sportsnet. By the way, shout out to my buddy Austin Brooks. I was at a birthday party for my wife's grandmother the other day. This young man he's a little guy, 5 years old. Fifth grade, I think. 10 years old. He lives in Tampa.
Uh-huh.
Diehard Hawks fan because they moved from here.
When he was 10, they moved from here
a few years ago.
Okay.
And he's a diehard Hawks fan, diehard Chicago sports fan, huge NFL fan. I said, you're not rooting for the Lightning down there? You live down there. He's like, no, I'm a Chicago sports fan.
Good for him.
Austin, thanks for staying loyal to our city, buddy.
By the way, while we're on your special interest here, so what was your $3 dessert yesterday? You never paid off the
tees. I got like 20 emails.
Well, what was it?
So I'm driving home Sunday. Went to that party. I had a couple things. I had to drop bread off. I'm coming back home, and there's the good humor man leaving my development. U-turn. I run him down, like, down the road, pull over in this.
You ran the ice cream man off the road?
Flying up next to him, and I'm honking my horn, and he.
I hope you didn't go too fast. The neighborhood,
No, I'm out of the neighborhood now. Okay. I'm on a busy street. He pulls over off by this.
So you ran the ice cream man off the road, is what?
Pretty close.
Okay.
He pulls,
just catch it up.
Pulls over, and I jump out. I'm like, dude, I haven't had good humor in 30 years, and I've heard you.
I would agree with that.
Dinging the, you're a funny guy. Dinging the, the good humor musical jingle going around, but I've never been able to catch him. I come flying out there. I'm like, I'll take one of those and one of those and one of those and one of those. And they're in my freezer, but I had to. Chocolate eclair bar. You remember that as a kid?
They
had the strawberry shortcake, the toasted almond.
I'm not a big good humor ice cream I mean, it's okay. It didn't have the whole sort of sentimental attachment, though.
It did for me.
Okay.
So I bought the
three
I had
bucks.
The chocolate eclair. It was $3. It was
what
so
good. What
did
it used
good.
To be? $1.25?
Oh, not even that.
75 cents?
Maybe.
Yeah. What a great
one. I hadn't had
actually
one probably 30 years. It was phenomenal.
I'm the same way about a Buster bar. Nothing
so
better.
My wife eats.
There's
Buster
nothing
bars.
Better at Dairy Queen to this day.
Blizzard's better.
No. Blizzard's good. Not going to deny that.
My wife
that.
Likes the Dilly Bar.
Dilly Bar is good, but a little plain. A little plain Jane
there. It is.
There.
You get a little, you get a little, you know, some nuts in there.
Yeah. The Buster Bar, you get a little chocolate, a little peanut butter. You get peanuts. You get
no
the whole ice cream.
Peanut butter in a Buster Bar.
Well, you get the peanut sort of peanut butter.
Peanutty taste.
What do you think peanut butter is made of?
Yeah, but
peanuts.
Peanut butter is like,
well, you know what I mean?
You could spread
it's
it.
Sort of that flavor, that taste, the yeah. chocolate peanut butter taste, right. The Reese's effect.
You're a Reese's guy.
There's nothing better than a Buster Bar at a Dairy Queen. Okay, let's get to the calls.
There you go. So that was the dessert that
all right, that's good. You paid off on. The tease 24 hours later.
Forgot. Anyway, Austin, thanks for staying loyal to Chicago, buddy. Let's go back to the phones, and let's start it with Daryl in the Windy City of Chicago. Daryl, what's going on there, Governor?
Hey, Daryl.
Hi, guys. I can tell Cap has to be a little bit down. He's not wearing any Hawk gear today, but
it's going to be 85. I actually had my Hawks hoodie out. My wife's like, it's going to be 85. You're going to wear a hoodie today? So I put it
okay,
away.
Does she dress
I'll
you
go.
Every
maybe
day?
Maybe a hat or something.
Does she pack
anyway,
you lunch for you? Go ahead, Daryl. Sorry.
I could tell the Hawks were going to be in trouble yesterday because Cap was talking about the Lightning being intimidated, the atmosphere coming into the United Center, the national anthem. I mean, that team, they've taken down Detroit. They beat Montreal. They beat New York in a game 7 at New York, which no one has done. I mean, the crowd, it's like, yeah, nice, everyone yells and stuff like that. But really, once the game starts, all that stuff is out. I mean, Tampa, they're just a good team. And like Haas says, I think you agree too. I mean, the teams are really pretty much equal. The series can go either way. I don't really believe too much of this experience stuff, things like that. The Lightning, they're just good, and I think they know they're good. The Hawks know it, and it's going to be tough. The Hawks can still pull it out, but it isn't going to be easy.
You're right, Daryl. Right on every point. I think there's nothing that's going to intimidate this Lightning team. Thank you very much for calling. Because of their experience, their most recent experience, they could become the first team to beat 4 original 6 teams on their way to a Stanley Cup final.
They're already the title. First team to play them, let alone beat them.
So. And I think last night's atmosphere, we went in thinking that would be something that would phase them. Mm-hmm. Unfazed.
Unfazed.
Unfazed. And down the stretch, with the game on the line in the last 2 games, it's been the Lightning and not the team with the championship pedigree and experience that have come through and made the play when they needed to make the play.
Let's go back to the phones. 312-235-2525. Gary is in Florida. He's watching on TV, and he joins us now. Hey, Gary, what's going on there, buddy? How
hey,
you
Gary.
Doing, pal? Everything all right
well,
in your world?
Guys, I've been doing better, but you know, let me make some comments on the Hawks.
Okay.
First of all, we've played 3 games, scored 2 goals in each game. And certainly, you know, we've got an offensive issue. We're not scoring as much as we need to. And that's magnified by the fact that in those kind of games, you've got to keep the other team to 1 goal or you're not going to win. And our defense, just for, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's Roosevelt's injury or whatever, our defense isn't up to it. Oduya has been horrible in the last 2 games. Horrible.
Well, he got hurt yesterday.
Well, yeah, but this was before he got hurt. Both the first and the second goals that Tampa scored yesterday were directly attributable to bad plays by Oduya. You know, and if we're going to win the series, you know, we got to start playing better on defense. Otherwise, you know, we're in big, big trouble. And you can't equate where we are now to where we were with Boston, because in Boston we had home ice advantage. Yeah, we won Game 6 in Boston. But had we lost that, we still would have had Game 7 back in Chicago. Never in the history of the NHL has a team gone down 2-1, losing the 3rd game on home ice and won the cup.
Yeah, it's 13-for-13, Gary. We appreciate the call, buddy. Thank you for your
thanks,
thoughts.
Gary.
13 times in 13 times it's happened, and 13 times The team that lost game three has not won.
That's a pretty big trend. I think that this series is probably immune to those kind of statistical trends, though. I don't know how you predict that, because this team could overcome that, and it could be the they could be the first of anything.
No,
the first time for everything.
No question.
Now, are you buying the fact that Johnny Oduya was actually hurt?
Yes.
You're that's valid.
Yes.
He did left the ice. He came back.
Yes.
Okay.
No question. Totally different than the snow job we got at the other end.
Just wondering.
Let's see. Freddie in Elgin is next. Freddie, how you doing there, Frederick?
Hey guys, how you guys doing?
Hey Freddie,
what's up, bud?
Hey, so I just wanted to go ahead and rekindle something. Maybe about a month ago, we went and we heard Barry Melrose on ESPN talking about
Achilles
Corey
heel.
Crawford being the only liability to this Blackhawks team. Hello?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay.
Yep, you're right.
And
remember.
So then seeing that we've fallen behind so fast after scoring for so many games during the playoffs, do you find any validity to that?
Well, I think that if you are a Corey Crawford critic, you're going to find a lot of validity to that. You're going to look for things that maybe aren't always there. If you are a Corey Crawford supporter, it depends on your interpretation. I still think that it's foolish to say that Corey Crawford is the Achilles heel for this team. I think he has proven too many times that that statement is untrue, and I think that he has been more good than bad. And the times that he has saved the Hawks outnumber the times that he has hurt them. Last night during the 5-on-3, he was terrific. He rose up. He was the kind of goaltender that he needs to be all the time. I thought the first goal was one he has to stop. I don't think on Saturday night it was his finest hour. I don't think that he has been the better goaltender through three games. That doesn't mean that on Wednesday night he couldn't still pitch a shutout. Because why do I say that? Because he's done it before. And I think that in sports you tend to trust people who have done it before. So I am not abandoning hope for Corey Crawford. I think he's got to play better. He probably realizes it. He was a little testy after the game last night. You like to see that. I don't know, testy might be overstating it. I think his patience is wearing a little thin with some of the how many questions he has to answer after the game.
But that's part of the deal, man.
That's all part of it. I don't want to single him out, because that was a frustrating post-game dressing room, and he certainly is always there to address reporters. But my point is that he's frustrated. The Hawks are frustrated. But I don't know that they have any less confidence in Corey Crawford today than they did at the beginning of the series. I don't think they should. Because he could go out on Wednesday night and, as they say, stand on his head. He could do he's done it before.
Look,
I know you're back and forth on Crawford. You're back and forth on Crawford.
No, I've always defended him. You know that since 13.
Not always.
Wait a minute. There's a difference.
I think that you have mostly.
There's a difference when you criticize a performance, a singular game, but as a whole, I think I've been supportive. I'll reserve the rest of my comments till this series is over.
Okay.
What did Aaron Ward say yesterday on the show with us?
I was talking to your lovely wife when he was on the show, so I have no idea.
He says he's not an elite goalie.
I sat that segment out.
He said he's Chris Osgood. Got a great team around him. He's
how many Stanley Cup championships?
I think he won three.
Did Chris Osgood win?
But he's, you know, he does not have him in the elite.
He's a passenger.
Category. Passenger.
He's a passenger on the Blackhawk train, driven by Joel Quenneville, Patrick Kane, and Jonathan Toews.
That's correct. So that was his take on it.
And it'd be nice for those guys to score a couple goals.
Yeah.
This series.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
Get Sharpie off the milk crate. If you live in Illinois, you might have property to claim. The Illinois Treasurer is safeguarding more than $2 billion in recovered cash for state residents, and it needs to be returned. The Illinois Treasurer's iCash program makes it easy to discover and claim what's yours. Just visit IllinoisTreasurer.gov, click on the iCash link, and search your name. One out of every four Illinois adults discovers property to claim when they search at IllinoisTreasurer.gov. So
search today. Visit IllinoisTreasurer.gov to start your claim. I went on. I found stuff. Yes! We got two wedding gifts. We can get them back. How about that?
Really?
Yeah.
You did that?
Yeah. IllinoisTreasurer.gov. I mean, it's not going to change my life. His total was like $250, but $250 to me. That's a good day.
All right. Lunch on the Cap Man.
312-235-2525. We're going back to Florida. We got Magoo on the line. We're going to Westmont, Aurora, Chicago. All of you. Edzo at
955. A lot of venting. A lot of
we'll
venting.
We'll be right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
Johnny Oduya took a tumble after he met up with Nikita Kucherov right here, and he goes down hard, looks to be on his left hand. He's favoring it as he gets up, goes to the bench, and he's not a happy camper.
Johnny Oduya didn't seem to play in the third period a lot. Is there anything going on there?
Nah, we'll see. We'll see tomorrow how he presents.
That's Coach Q. After you heard the injury to Johnny Oduya, he got questioned by the media, and he said, we'll see how he presents today.
Here's my left hand, Coach. I'd like to present my left hand to you. How's it look? I mean, that's an odd, interesting way to put it. We'll see how he presents. If he doesn't present well, if he doesn't...
That means more minutes for Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Who
played okay yesterday.
Played
for
okay.
For his first game.
He didn't stand out for the wrong reason.
Kaminsky wasn't great.
No, Kaminsky.
The game-winning goal, he and Sharp were both,
that
I don't
was,
know what they were doing.
That was not a good look for him. Runblad is an option. If Johnny Oduya can't go, your thin defensive lineup already gets a little thinner. Not good. Could you see Kimmo Tiimonen again? Have we seen the last of him?
Speed of that game? Ooh,
yeah, it'd be
boy.
Very difficult.
Very.
Did you see he talked yesterday during the morning skate?
He's frustrated.
Very interesting, talking about he's been in a lot of cups, been in a lot of championships. He's a proud veteran, and it's frustrating for him to watch.
I'm sure he understands.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a difficult role to play. It's why he's here to win, you know, to be along for the ride. That's part of being along for the ride, is knowing your place. I don't sense he's been anything but a pretty good teammate from what people have said. But it just was, I guess if he's in the room and he's there to be talked to, then he's got something to say. I just was a little surprised to hear about his frustration at this point of the series.
Is he not supposed to answer the question?
No. I can be surprised and still understand that he's being candid. I appreciate his candor, but Yeah, I'm not criticizing it. Relax. Like, down there, boy.
No, like if you were in there in that room and they asked you that question,
yeah.
David, you were a pretty good player for a long time. You're not even seeing the field now. Would you say, look, it's about these other guys. Don't even talk to me. Or I'll answer the question.
I might make myself scarce. I don't know. That's okay. I respect what he said.
I mean, the guy had no clothes on. He's getting dressed, and they're like... Hey, man, can we ask you some questions? I'm going to go running out of the locker room naked.
I mean, criticizing him, Cap, okay? Mr. Chemo Protector.
Let's go back to the phones. Tommy in Chicago.
Jesus.
Thomas, good morning.
Hey,
how
Tommy.
Are you there, Sparkles?
Good morning, everybody. Gentlemen, I just want to say one thing to Haw. You're all over Cap like a hobo on a ham sandwich. What happened? Somebody steal your surprise out of the cereal box? One thing I want to say is I think the first period for all three games, I think Q's either got my pillows on their bench or what's going on. Sharp hasn't scored since May 5th, and he is my Casper the Ghost. He's been disappearing every game. And Bickle, well, he might as well be a rodeo clown the way he hit that one guy and he got a stupid penalty in the game last night. What's your comment on it?
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks for defending me, Tommy. Kicking my tail this morning.
Hobo on a ham sandwich.
That's pretty good.
I think he wrote this stuff down because he had hobo on a ham sandwich. He had a surprise in a cereal box. He had a rodeo clown reference. And he said Sharpie hadn't scored since May 5th. There was one other one in there. He had to have written all that down.
He's just sharp. Mike, Tommy's just sharp.
Okay, because he defended you?
That's it.
I'm sorry if I had on you like a hobo in a ham sandwich. So what was his point? Sharp? Not enough offense.
Sharp's bad.
Yeah.
I think that
he hasn't scored now 12 games, and he's the defensive presence on the third line. That's how
that's
his
the
game
amazing
has
thing is. But yeah. the farther he trends down, the harder it is to move his salary this summer.
No, it's not. Nobody's going to overreact to I don't think so. I don't think that his trade value is going to be that much affected that greatly, whether he had a great postseason or not. And people know what Patrick Sharp is at this point of his career. And what he's going to bring you in return, frankly, at the time that you're doing that, for the reasons you're doing it, is kind of a moot point anyway, irrelevant.
You're just moving him to move him out.
Yeah.
312-235-2525.
We'll take whatever call you want to take, Cap. Because
how about we go to?
I want to get on your case.
Dennis in Florida.
Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Dennis in FLA. What's up there, you Romeo?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love your show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, yesterday you were talking about a milkshake.
Yep.
You know what it is? It's baking soda, brown sugar, and a quarter water, and you give it to a horse orally about 3 hours before the race. It does not make him go faster. It makes him don't get as tired. And it's illegal now to use.
And Secretariat, did Secretariat like the
milkshake? No,
milkshakes?
He did not have any milkshakes.
I'm just asking.
No, I don't think they use it on Secretariat.
Okay.
Hey, regarding the Hawks, it's like all sports. The team that makes the most mistakes usually loses. And yesterday, you can't, like Odul, you get outplayed. The guy goes right out on the net. And then Crawford misses the first goal. He should have stopped. When teams are equal or close, you make the most mistakes, you usually lose.
That's exactly right. I think that you're right. So what's your level of panic, Dennis, going into game four?
I think they still can do it. They just need to tune it up and tighten it up.
Okay. Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks for watching.
Mikey's stats that he put together for us. So according to NHL PR, the team that has won Game 3 after a split of the opening two contests of the final has gone on to capture the Stanley Cup 21 of 26 times. That's 80.8% since the series adopted the best-of-seven format in 1939. In the last such instance in 2013, the Blackhawks lost Game 3 at Boston 2-0 before ultimately winning the Stanley Cup in six games. In the instance prior to that, in 2004, the Lightning also lost Game 3 at Calgary 3-0 before ultimately winning the Stanley Cup in seven games.
Can I say that I find those statistics interesting, but irrelevant?
Like 15 minutes ago, you were calling them a trend. Now they're irrelevant?
I said it was an interesting trend. It's always the trends are always interesting. These numbers
to
are
quote
fascinating.
You, it sounds like a trend to me. That's what you said.
Well, I know, but I don't think that trends always apply to what's going to happen next.
80.8%, it's a little scary for Hawks fans.
Are you telling me, is this team good enough to make themselves trend-proof? That make all these numbers
Yeah, I think it means irrelevant. You're going against the odds, but I think, yeah. Can they turn the trick? No question.
Okay. I also get 224, a texter. Crawford, way underrated. He lets a few bad goals go in, but hey, it's hockey. Nobody complains when Kane tays or Richard scores from ridiculous angles. So this guy thinks Crawford's underrated.
He's definitely not underrated. I think he's a solid goaltender.
Overpaid?
Perhaps. I don't think he's a $6 million goalie.
That's a decision that
how much
Stan
is
Bowman
Lundquist
will have to make.
What do they
forward?
Pay a Henrik Lundqvist?
I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Find out.
Eight?
I don't have that handy.
Eight for Lundqvist. Or a Rinne. I mean, he's not. I can come up with five goaltenders that I would rather have.
Well, I don't think that anyone's saying that Corey Crawford's a top five goalie. But I don't know that.
But he's solid.
Yeah, top 10?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a top 10 goalie.
If you're a top 10 goalie, you're pretty. You're on the fringe of being elite.
Right. Take a quick time out. Get to more of your calls. Bob, Rita, and Magoo, plus Eddie Olchek. That's next.